And fill the atmosphere. You're the to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
Let's just enjoy his presence for a moment longer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. What a great privilege to feel the presence of the Almighty God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Esther just talked about letting God use you and letting the gifts that God has given you flow through you. So there's someone here that has more. Is there not a time? Is this not the hour to which I have prepared you? Have I not called you so that I can use you, that I can bless you, that you can make a difference? I have given you exceeding great and precious promises. But more than promises, I have given you gifts and power and anointing. Allow me to work in you. Allow me to work through you. And you will see how great your God is, saith the Lord. Praise God. Let's lift our hands again. Let's worship him a little longer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. If you weren't in the first session this morning, just to let you know that Pastor was speaking about allowing God to work through us and letting the gifts that God has given us bear fruit. So there's no doubt in my mind that if you came this morning wondering whether or not God had a plan for your life, he's answering your question right now. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. We used to sing a song about the presence of the Lord. And it said, Jesus, 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 like the fragrance after the rain. How's that? Isn't that what that feels like right now? Hallelujah. Fragrance after the rain. Amen. If you're a guest of ours, we want to welcome you on behalf of Pastor Roy and Sister Lois. We want to welcome you to Calvary Gospel Church. We do have a number of long ago members, but always still part of Calvary Gospel Church. We're glad that you're all with us this morning. Pastor Roy introduced them this morning. We would encourage you to fill out a connection card if you haven't already done that. You can do that online with the Bitly link, or you can do that here in person. Give that card to one of our ushers or drop it off at the kiosk in the vestibule. We do have a small gift for you to show you our appreciation for that. Also, we have various giving options. You can give at the same kiosk out in the vestibule, or you can give in by mail to our snail mail address, 5301 Commercial Avenue, or you can do it online, and the information is there on the screen. You can text to give. We do have a Church Center app that you can download, and you can give through that as well. Please consider those options. Speaking of offerings, next week, Sunday morning, is the official offering date for Christmas for Christ. Amen. Thank you. I was hoping someone would do that. There are some envelopes out in the vestibule that have certain amounts listed on them. You can choose those and remind yourself what you're pledging to give to Christmas for Christ, or you can just give today, tomorrow, anytime between now and the first of the year online, the various ways that we've spoken of. Christmas for Christ is an offering that we take up to support North American missions. We plant churches all around North America. 60% of this offering stays here in our district to support our district North American missions efforts. 40% goes to headquarters. It supports new missionaries with purchases of property, but also provides, Christmas for Christ provides support on a weekly, daily, monthly basis for people who are committing their lives to serving God and building churches, and as a result, want to give more time to the ministry and less time to earning a living outside of the church. So we support them for the first 3 to 5 years of their establishing a church, and then by that time, hopefully the church is established enough that it can support itself. So please consider Christmas for Christ. It's a very worthwhile and necessary endeavor of the United Pentecostal Church, and it's part of our opportunity to be a part of what God is doing all around North America. God bless you. Then also next Sunday is our special Christmas service. We will have only one service, and that begins at 10 a.m. for all of you 11 o'clockers. At 10 a.m. will be the beginning of our one service on next Sunday, December 19th. The kids will be with us in the main sanctuary. We have Pastor Peter, our family ministries pastor, has set up a excellent and exciting plan for that service. We're going to celebrate Christmas. All of the pastors will be involved, and your children and your whole family will receive ministry because we know that Jesus will be there. Amen. Amen. And then just a reminder of our holiday service schedule. Our Christmas Eve service will be at 5 o'clock on Friday, December 24th, and it will be a somewhat abbreviated service. Not our normal 3-hour, no, I'm just not as long as a normal service. Our regular Sunday services will take place on December 26th, the day after Christmas. And then that Wednesday, however, there will be no midweek service on the 29th. And then again, Voces Unidas and African International Ministries will be hosting a New Year's Eve service here at 8 o'clock, beginning at 8 o'clock on Friday, December 31st. Praise God. Let's stand, and we want to go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Let's ask for God's blessing upon this service. There are needs that we are all aware of. If you have a need, or you know of someone close to you who is in need of healing or has a need, please identify that by raising of your hand. Let's just pray that God will anoint us this holiday season so that we can be a light as well. Let's pray for blessing and anointing upon Pastor Peter as he brings us the word. In Jesus' name, Lord, we stand before you, God, knowing that it's not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, O God, that we are able to do the things that you have called us to do. We pray for your blessing and your anointing upon the remainder of this service, that everyone here in this house will receive a word from you, that the Spirit of God will move freely, that your anointing will be upon our Pastor Peter, and that the Word of God and upon Pastor Roy, Lord, as they bring us vision and direction from your presence. Help us, O God, to hear your voice and to receive that instruction. We pray, O God, for these many loved ones who the various illnesses and some who are in surgery that are connected with the body of Christ, family members, loved ones, oh God, who are battling COVID and other health issues. We pray, oh God, for your blessing upon our households, that we may be a blessing to those around us, that we may be a strength materially, physically, spiritually, emotionally to those who have needs, that we can show the light of this glorious gospel, oh God, through our ministry. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's worship the Lord.
Worship God a little bit more. This is not holy ground because of this building or this property. It is holy ground because Jesus is here. He's here not because of the building or property. He's here because we are here and we are lifting Him up. Let's just worship Him. Jesus, Your presence is awesome, God. You are awesome, God. We love You, God. We worship You. We lift You up today. God, You must increase and we must decrease, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is awesome. If you could turn with me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5. For some of you, this is a familiar verse. For some of you, maybe it's new. God is good. God is good. Pastor Roy's been introducing to the church a plan that we have for the coming year. And it's maybe a curriculum, maybe a way to unify us, maybe a tool to equip us. It's called God's Word for Life. And today I want to talk to you for a little bit. Maybe it's teaching, maybe it's preaching, maybe it's explaining, maybe it's just sharing funny things. But I want to talk to you on God's Word for my life. So Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 through 5, reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible, says, "Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Period. Then it keeps going. "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength." You can be seated. I'm trying out a little technology today. Look at that, it works. We had with our children, right? For those of you who don't know, I have four little kids. And we had one of those swings. You know those swings where it kind of like comes off the floor and it's got the little head at the top and the swing goes like this or like this, however you want it to go. And after like 2.5 children, it broke. Right? Now, I work in construction, but you do not want me to build your house. You want Pastor Roy or Brother Marvin or somebody that can use their hands. I'm better at helping people. I'm a good helper. But I'm not really a fix-it kind of guy. But I figured, like, I don't want to spend another $150 on one of these swings. I've already got 2.5 kids through this thing. I can fix this, and I'm going to figure it out. And so where did I go to figure out how to fix a swing? YouTube. There we go. You guys got it. I go to YouTube. And would you know that there was a lot of videos on how to fix this swing? Pastor Roy's talked about this, right? And so there's a video. You would not believe this. How many people have seen those air fresheners in the bathroom? They're up against the wall. So those air fresheners just have a can in them, and there's just a little piece that every so often it turns a dial, and it goes, and it pushes down the button, and it goes, and it sprays that air freshener, right? That little piece runs those swings. And I had to borrow my dad's soldering gun, and I lost a couple screws, but the swing worked, and I didn't damage anybody. But it's interesting that when we want to learn something, there is places everywhere to learn it. There's Reddit, there's blogs, there's YouTube videos. I bet you there's somebody in this church, well, now you guys know that I know how to do it, but there's somebody in this church that knows how to do pretty much most of the things. I have somebody in my life that can fix my toilet. I know somebody that knows what to do if my window's leaking. I know somebody that knows what to do with so many different things. And so we have all these resources that we go to when we want to learn something. And the same applies to God's word. But we don't always see it that way. We have to change the ways we think about what God's word is. And it starts with, first off, God's word is not a book of rules, but it is a book of paths that lead to Jesus. It is a book of paths that lead to Jesus. How many people have ever seen the picture on my slideshow? Let's see if this laser thing works. Oh, look at that. How many people have ever seen the picture on my slideshow before? Jerry has. How many other people have seen that picture? A handful of you. So there's a guy named Jordan Peterson. He does lectures, psychologist, doctor kind of thing. And he showed this picture one time. It's really cool. So let me explain how this works. This is a virtual representation, a digital representation of the Bible. He jokes that the Bible is the first hyperlinked text. That means it references itself. We call it cross-referencing, right? And so every one of these lines that you see is where the Bible is referencing itself. All these little, I don't know if you can see, this is gray, this is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, and these lines represent chapters. Anybody know what chapter this is? Psalms 119, exactly. Interesting, we're talking about God's word, and Psalms 119 happens to be the one that talks the most about God's word, right? So what you see here is along this chart, all the times the Bible cross-references itself. Anybody know how many times? Did I say it already? 63,779 times the Bible references itself in some way or another. So, for example, you're going to see this when we come to Christmas, but there's in Isaiah where it says a virgin shall be with child and will have a son and you will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then what happens? The angel comes to Mary and says, you're going to have a son. You're going to name him Jesus, which means God with us. So this is really cool. They have a, I'm trying my skip thing. It's my skip thing. I think I got to face it this way. Maybe it's not working. Maybe I'm pointing in somebody's eyes here. Sister Tara, you might have to help me out a little bit. Oh, there we go. Now we're working. I got it. Okay, thanks, Sam. So somebody took this, put it in a program, a computer program called Tableau, and now you can see kind of pockets of where things are. It shows a bunch of them. Here's Genesis. You see all the references in Genesis and where they pop out in the Bible. Here's Psalms. Wow, I bet you didn't know Psalm references that much into the future and into the past. And here's Luke. You can't see the orange lines, but they go all the way back, some of them. The Bible is so interesting to me. It's written by over hundreds of years by different people, and they all point to the same thing. Jesus. It's truly amazing. For for the opening this morning, we read Deuteronomy 6:4, and I want to keep reading. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And we know that verse. We read that verse a lot. But it's the next verse that I have more of a challenge with. It's the next set of verses where he says, these words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. You're to repeat them to your children. You're to talk about them when you sit down in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. You're to bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. You're to write them on your doorpost and on your gates. It's a good thing we kept reading, because otherwise I wouldn't have to do anything. Okay, we're really going to shock the system here. We're gonna try something. Sister Tara, if you could help me out. I got a short video for you.
For thousands of years, every morning and evening, Jewish people have prayed these well-known words as a way of expressing their devotion to God. They're called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And as for you, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Now the first word of the Shema is hear or listen, which in Hebrew is pronounced Shema. That's where the prayer gets its name. Now Shema is a really common word in the Hebrew Bible, and it's obvious why. Hearing is a very universal activity. It's usually connected with the ear, as in Proverbs chapter 20, ears that Shema and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. Now that seems basic enough, but if you look at the other ways that Hebrew authors can use the word Shema, they use it to mean more than just let sound waves enter your ear. In Hebrew, Shema can also mean pay attention to or focus on. So when Leah, who wasn't loved by her husband Jacob, she has a son and she names him Simon, or in Hebrew, Shim'on, because she says, the Lord has Shamad, that I am unloved. So Shema means to hear and to pay attention to, and even more. It can also mean responding to what you hear. This is why so many of the cries for help in the book of Psalms begin with a call that God listen. Psalm 27, verse 7. Shema my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful. Answer me. So asking God to Shema is at the same time asking God to act, to do something. It's similar to when God asks people to listen. Like when the people of Israel come to Mount Sinai, God says, if you Shema me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Now there's a couple interesting things about this verse in Exodus. In Hebrew, the word Shema is repeated twice in this sentence to give it emphasis. If you Shema Shema, meaning listen closely. But also notice that from God's point of view, listening is basically the same as keeping the covenant. So when God asks the people to Shema, what he means is that they listen and obey. And that's the last fascinating thing about Shema. In ancient Hebrew, there is no separate word for obey, meaning to carry out the wishes of someone who knows better than you or is in authority over you. So in the Bible, if you want to say, I will listen and do what you say, you use the single word, Shema. In Hebrew, listening and doing are two sides of the same coin. This is why later in Israel's history, when the people were breaking their covenant promises to God, the Hebrew prophets would say things like, they have ears, but they're not listening. The Israelites, of course, could hear just fine, but they weren't actually listening, or else they would act differently. And so in the end, listening in the Bible is about giving respect to the one speaking to you and doing what they say. Real listening takes effort and action. And that's the Hebrew word, Shema.
How many people just learned something?
Pretty cool, isn't it?
Who would have thought Deuteronomy was cool? Right? So now we see these verses again, and maybe we read them a little bit differently. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And then he gives us something to do. These words I am giving you today are to be in your heart. You're to repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. You're to bind them as a sign upon your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. And you're to write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So some thoughts. Oh, these words are small. Some thoughts from me as I'm reading this, okay? It says, be in your heart. That means my heart first. I think sometimes I like to focus on, you know, Pastor Seidel's heart. Well, if it's in Brother Seidel's heart, then I'll get it in. No, it doesn't work that way. My heart first. It has to be a part of who I am. It's not something I can really do. It's something that happens, right? Repeat them to your children. This is not a one-time thing. I don't tell my kids when they're dedicated, here, whatever, this is Jesus, this is how you do it. It's a repetitious thing. And they're my children. Talk about them. Pretty much he covered everywhere. House, road, down, up. Pretty much everywhere. But he's also saying, it's more than just reading now. We're not just reading God's word. That's important. We should be reading God's word on a daily basis. But it's not just reading anymore. It's talking about them. And I'm sure you could talk about them by yourself or to God. But I think it also applies with other people. Okay? It says, bind them as a sign upon your hands. I think about this. When I look down, what do I see? When I'm working with my hands, what do I see? I don't want to be distracted by the things I'm doing. I want to always be thinking about God. Paul says, whatever you do, do it with might. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with might. And you can always see it and remember it. And this is the first one where it seems like it's more about other people. Put it as a symbol on your forehead. This is when people start to notice. But maybe I'm picking apart the words a little bit here, but it says, let them be a symbol. It's not about like, hey, look everybody at my Facebook and Instagram page. Look at my perfectly placed Bible and coffee as I do my reading this morning. That's not a symbol. A symbol is what Pastor Roy's been talking about, and that when we are closer to God, the fruit of God comes through us and people see it. That's the symbol. So don't focus on putting a symbol on your forehead. Focus on being closer to Jesus and the symbol will happen. For the record and for those watching online, I'm not recommending we put symbols on our foreheads. In case it wasn't clear. And then lastly, it says write them. Write them. Another physical action. Make it known and present in your life. And on the places you live, let it be permanent. Your doorposts and gates. So that you're going in and out and you see it. Yeah, that's important to me. Yeah, that's important to me. And other people see it. What we're seeing in these chapters is that it goes way beyond just reading God's word. It goes beyond memorizing God's word. It goes beyond meditating on God's word. But those are all great things. Instead, it's talking about a lifestyle. A lifestyle of living based on God's word. We say we're living for God, but our actions say we are acting out a set of rules, a religion. We are following rules and using those rules to feel and think that we're doing it right. But it's not about how much you do or don't do for God or for this church. It's about how close we are to Jesus. My personal challenge right now as a family is somehow not teaching my kids rules. Rules are important. I have to teach them rules. But I don't want my kids to turn 16, 17, 18, 19 years old. And I'm saying this is my challenge. This means I don't have the solution just yet, right? So this is not figured out. I have not apprehended, as Paul would say. But I'm pressing towards the mark. I don't want them to live on rules. I want them to know how to have a relationship with God that the fruit comes from. My challenge is, how do I do that? And I'll tell you, the first hint is the first thing I don't do is I don't just talk about God when I'm in this building.
I talk about it everywhere. I want to prepare them to make their own decisions, not make their decisions for them. But here's the problem. They're going to act like I act. They're going to see church as I see church. They're going to see relationship with God as I see relationship with God. I am perpetuating what it means to follow Jesus to my children. And that's really challenging when you start asking yourself that question. So what do we got here then? We have an opportunity. We have an opportunity. Pastor Roy has introduced God's Word for Life, which is a kind of a three-part, multi-part, we'll say. It's a curriculum, right? And so that means on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and Pastor Roy spoke this morning, but on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., the adults that are sitting in here are going to be listening to, we'll just pretend it's lesson 1.1, commissioned by God. They're going to be listening to 1.1, which will be spoken at, which will be preached by one of the pastors at the church here. And at the end of the session, you'll be given a little handout. At the same time at 10 a.m., the youth will be going through a similar Bible study. And at the end, they'll be given a little handout. And at the same time, the Sunday school department, let's just take a break here. We have an awesome Sunday school department. Brother Brandon, Sister Arian, all the teachers, let's give them a hand. And a side note, I can do this because Phil's not here. A side note, I'm about to get a text from Phil. On a side note, if you are passionate about kids and you want to teach and help kids learn more about God at Sunday school, we have openings. Just find Pastor Phil, find me. We'll help you fill out a ministry placement form. That's our 2 cents for Sunday school here. So that we have adult Sunday school, we have youth Sunday school, and we have kids Sunday school. And so every single Sunday, you are going to go home, whether you're an adult or a Sunday school teacher or a kid or a single person, whatever, you're going to go home having done the same lesson as the entire church, maybe geared more towards your level. And so today, I wanted to give you some maybe how to do this, okay? And I'm going to fly through this because I got to give Pastor Roy a couple minutes at the end, because at the end of this all, we're kind of tag-teaming this. My goal is to encourage you and give you like some how-tos. And Pastor Roy wants to challenge and put out an opportunity to commit when we're all done. So for the adult devotionals, and one last note here. After service, at the outside, Sister Jessica has a table set up with all this material. You can come take a look at it. You can't take any with you, but you can come take a look at it. It'll start getting handed out in January is when we're going to start rolling this out. This isn't the last you're going to hear from me or Sister Jessica, because as the education pastor, she's kind of organizing all this. But in January, we'll be helping out so people have everything they need as well. But there is a table out back, so I encourage you to go look at it. So this is the first one. It's called 1.1, Commissioned by God. This would be the one for December 5th, so this was 2 weeks ago or a week ago, right? And when you open this up, there's 5 or 6 pages. On the front, it's not important that you read everything, but it's you can see there's a lesson text. So this week's lesson is Exodus 3, 1 through 22. You're going to hear that verse a lot, a little bit here. Trying to point it at the right direction. Okay, so when you open it up, it's not important that you read everything here, but here's the verse. On day one, it says day one, Exodus 3, 1 through 5, you read the 5 verses. It's right there. You don't even have to open your Bible, although it's highly encouraged. Next, there's biblical insights. It has a little insight, a little thought about what's going on in this verse. It references some other verses in the Bible that pertain to this. And then there's a daily devotional, which, if you know what a devotion is, it's not just something you read, it's something you think and contemplate on. So if we were all to sit right here and take these minutes, we could read through this all probably in about 3 minutes and we'd be done. But that's not the intent here. The intent is for you to go home and think and to pray about what's going on a daily basis. And then at the end, there's a spot for reflection and prayer. You can write stuff down. You can enter it into your phone. I think on average, this will take you between 5 and 200 minutes, however long you want to spend. The idea is that it's a tool that we can all use. Also, one other note here is on the top right, there's like three, 2 Samuel 1, 2, 3, and then Luke 18. If you read those every day, by the end of the year, you will have read through the whole Bible. Sometimes they relate, sometimes they don't. It's just another opportunity for you. That's why I showed that video this morning, not just because it applied to the verse, but it's another way to learn the Bible. It's another thing that you can do when you learn the Bible. You can find that on YouTube. You can find those on the Bible apps. There's so many great opportunities. So, look at that. Day 2 and 3, you can see how there's 2 and 3 days. Look very similar. Day 4 and 5. And then at the end, so it's 5 days. We teach on Sunday, and there's 5 days to go through this. So if you're an individual, if you're single, if you're married, whatever, you're adult, this could be a supplement to your Bible reading, your daily devotional. It is not a supplement to prayer, for the record. It is a good starting point at a minimum, and I would caution you to start here if this is what you can do, okay? And you can do it in the morning. You can do it at night. You can do it at lunch if you go sit in your car or something at lunch. And some keep skipping me through here. But then at the very end, they also, at the last page, they have this, it says SG, Participants Guide. You could actually use this as a discussion, this last page, to talk with other people. I know it's strange, but talking with other people about God is a good thing, even us in here, right? To be on the same, Pastor Roy, I was reading this in Exodus 3, verses 20, and this really hit me. What did you think? What did you read? And it might just be that we're out to lunch. It might just be a text. It might be some of the guys on Marco Polo doing their thing, sharing what they saw. But there's so many more opportunities. If you're married, this is something you could be doing separately and talk about. Or you could do it together and talk about. You should talk about it. If you're a man and you want to get with other men that hey, I want to, maybe it's a text message group. Maybe it's I want to meet Bible study every other week. I don't know. There's opportunities for growth. There's opportunities to learn more about God's word. And you could do that by contacting Brother Jerry. You want to, if you're a woman and you want to start something, you want to get together, talk to Sister Lindsay. They lead our men's and women's ministries. Hey, we got a couple young married couples, the ones without kids that have time. No, I'm just kidding. I only joke, when we didn't have kids, we didn't have time either. I didn't realize that, yeah. Okay, moving on. And there's so many other opportunities here. So that's the adult one. Now, there's also a daily devotional for families. This is a big book, but it has a page for every single day for families. Now, I'm going to tell you as a family that the challenge has always been twofold for me. Maybe you don't apply. Maybe it doesn't apply to you. Number one is time. I have too much other stuff going on. I have school, I have work, I have church, I have extracurriculars, I have ministry. And the other thing is knowledge. How do I do this? How do I teach? What do I teach my kid? There's 5,000 things I could find. What do I teach my kid? I don't know. Is it in line with other people? This is an opportunity for families. I'm super excited about this for families. It will be in parallel with the adults and with the youth. And here's some examples. It's one page per day. There's discussion topics and questions. There's songs to sing, verses to read, thoughts to pray about together, scriptures to memorize. And in some of these, they even tie back to quizzing, memorizing scriptures. Yeah, we got a couple of people that are excited about that. This gives you an example of day one. It's just some reading a story. And then at the end, it says pray together to for God to help you this week in following him. That seems like a pretty easy day. You might be able to do that before bed. You might be able to do that at the dinner table. The second day, Monday, there's a lot here, but really it talks about what's your Bible focus? It's a reminder, maybe a little discussion, some reflection, and just, hey, in a bubble, this week's lesson is about I will listen for and obey God's voice. Kind of applies to the video, right? On Tuesday, they talk about there's actually a tree called a burning bush. I never knew that. It's a Ionimus alatus, and birds love to eat the small red berries. Did your children know that? Did you know there's a real burning bush? That's not burning. It's just a pink bush that birds eat the berries from. Huh. Tuesday, you also would read or review Exodus 3, 1 through 22. There's some fun things you could do with crafts or did you knows. Pretty easy, pretty simple, definitely doable. Wednesday, there's a QR code. You can scan that. There's a song you can listen to together if you want. You could sing. There's all these options for Thursday, bonus activities, Friday. There's tips for tomorrow. What do you do as you plan for your last day? What should you pray together for as a family? Maybe you don't know. That's okay. This is a guide. This helps. This is a tool. And then at the end of every week, there's a family project on Saturday. Now, this is a bit overwhelming, right? There's like the last thing I have time for is another thing, right? Oh, that's cool. One other thing is when the children are in Sunday school, they're going to get these little handouts. Sometimes they'll fill them out in Sunday school. Sometimes they'll send them home. But it'll also, you have opportunities here to see what they're learning, how it ties to you. You can tie it into what you're teaching your children. So what do we do? How do we do this? If you're a family or a married couple or just a person, I think this applies to all of you. Number one, you determine the days and times you're going to do this. If it works to do it 2 days a week, then do it 2 days a week. Don't say, I can't do it 5 days, so I'm not doing it at all. Start. Just start somewhere, right? Make it a priority. Make it a commitment. The Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be, right? Where you spend your time and your energy. That's what you really care about. We saw a video about obeying and listening and whatever. The things you're doing are the things that you care about. Prepare before you discuss. If you're working with children or kids or youth, before you discuss this in your own, make sure you've read it. Don't wing this. Otherwise, we're just perpetuating that whole rules garbage. We're not perpetuating relationship. Divide responsibilities. I have a 9-year-old. She could probably lead a lesson if I gave it to her. Say, hey, read this. Why don't you lead the discussion for us? How are you going to stay accountable? You have to be accountable to somebody, whether it's another couple or another person or another family. Facebook does not count as accountability. We don't care if you did it. Don't post it. Sorry. I usually don't step on toes, Pastor, but because then you're doing it for you and not for your family. And lastly, set a goal. They call them SMART goals, something that's specific, something that's measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. And so maybe as a family, you get a little calendar out and you put little check boxes and say, we're going to do this 3 times a week. We go to church Sunday and Wednesday, or maybe it's 2 days. Maybe you say, I'm going to do it Mondays and Thursdays. And you're going to put a little check box. And as a family, you're going to get excited about checking those off. And you're going to decide, we got 5 days worth of material here. We'll take a couple of them and mash them together, or maybe we'll just do 2 of them. But you're going to set a specific goal. So maybe it's 2 days a week. And guess what? Because you put it on a calendar, you can measure it. Did we do 2 days this week? Oh, awesome. Is it achievable? Well, if you said as a family of 4 that works and does a lot of other stuff, you said, hey, we're going to do this every morning and every night, every day, including church. That's probably not achievable for my family, maybe yours, but not for me. And so that would not be a good goal for me. Is it relevant? Well, that's why I'm up here, to tell you that it is relevant. Everything about God's word is relevant. And time bound. You're not saying we're going to do this for eternity. We're saying let's set a goal. Can we this month, maybe we're going to start in January. Let's say maybe for the month of January, can we commit to 2 days a week as a family? Can we commit to 1 day a week? And then at the end of the month, say, how did we do? Did we do good? Did we not do good? What could we have done better? The youth have the same thing. The youth will be learning in their classes. They have a devotional they'll come back with. Looks like this. And for the youth, what do you know? Exodus 3, 1 through 22. That was in the kids one too. I just didn't highlight it. There's opportunities for discussions and thought. Each day, this is not a lot, youth. That's like, how can I translate this for you? That's like 4 TikTok videos. Come on. You know you flipped through more than 4 TikTok videos in the bathroom, right? You guys don't get it. They get it. That's 4 TikTok videos worth right there. But what it has is it's just, hey, can you read verses 1 through 4 today? The adults were reading, I think, 1 through 5. It says something that God's talking about. And just a question. Maybe get your phone out, kids, with the youth. This is what I like to do. I like to use OneNote. How many people in OneNote? No, Evernote. Something out there. Use notes on your phone, whatever it is. And say, hey, every day I'm just going to make a little note about what God's speaking to me about on here. That doesn't sound like a lot. It's only a lot when you're thinking about how much it is, but it's really not. So it's just really good opportunities in all these curriculums as we move forward. And so as I close up here, and the musician, you guys can come. Pastor Roy is going to be leading us all here in a minute. But with my last few minutes, I want to reread this and think about it through the idea of a lifestyle. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These words I am giving you today are to be in your heart. You're to repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road. When you lie down and when you get up, bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Maybe this verse is a little more challenging to you this morning. Hopefully it is. It sure is to me. It's heavy on my heart today. It's been heavy on my heart for pretty much the last year. But God's with us. God's helping us. Jesus told his disciples that he would leave and that his comforter would come, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would lead us into all truths and teach us all things. I just want to be closer to Jesus. That's all. I just want to be closer to Jesus. I don't want to be distracted by the news or my hobbies. I don't want to be distracted by relationships. I don't want to be distracted by work. And if I can, Pastor, I don't want to be distracted by how other people are getting closer to Jesus or not getting closer to Jesus. We focus on that too much, people. It's too easy to look down the aisle and say, well, Brother Spencer's doing a great job. I can't do that, so I'm doing nothing. Right? Or Brother Roy, he's not doing a good job. I'm doing fine with my whatever. And we're judging our relationship with God based on people. Who cares what they're doing or not doing? What is that to you? Let's follow Jesus. What is that to you? Let's follow Jesus. Let's get closer to Jesus. And what better way to be closer to Jesus than to learn about him and learn how to know him, to live a life based on the Bible, God's word for my life. Pastor Roy is going to be challenging us as a church, challenging us to make a covenant, a commitment to set aside things and be closer to Jesus. Deuteronomy 6:4 was not just repeated in the Old Testament, but there was a very important man that came, and when they said, what's the most important thing we can do, Jesus, to be close to you? And he said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Church, we have an awesome opportunity. We're eliminating excuses in our lives. And God is so close to us and wants to be so much closer to us. Let's be close to Jesus. Let's commit this morning to be close to Jesus. Pastor Roy, if you can come and lead us.
Thank you, Brother Peter. I just want to challenge us here at the end. How many of you do not have a smartphone? I commend you for that, first of all. Second of all, the rest of you that have smartphones, which is about 99.5%, you can determine, and this is something that I made a choice about 3 years ago in my life, that either this thing is going to entertain me or it's going to become a tool that I use to help me as I go and navigate my way through life. My phone is my GPS at times. It's my how-to fix-it manual at times. It is my Bible scripture reading reminder at times. I choose to use that device as a tool, not as entertainment. That's why I shed all of my social media garbage. Said, you know what? I don't really care what you made for supper. If I want a recipe, I'll find a recipe. So with that, being able to take your phone as a tool, I want to challenge you on that. That's above and beyond. But the number one question that I get asked, and this is a question I get asked multiple times, sometimes a day, sometimes a week in conversations, is what do you do? How do you read? How do you study? How do you pray? What do you do? And with this God's Word for Life, this gives us a tool that we can use to not only build ourselves, but to build our families, to build our church, and to build those around us. And that's the purpose of this, God's Word for Life. In this, it was mentioned a covenant. I want to thank you, Pastor Peter, for doing such a great job today, and also Sister Jessica Rivest for doing such a great job. And as we close out this service today, I just wish to end with a very simple pledge or a very simple covenant agreement with each one of us. This is not a covenant that you're making with me or with Pastor Peter or with the Sunday school teachers. This is a covenant you're making with God and with your family. So a covenant, when we look at a covenant, I struggled with, should we call this a pledge? Should I call this a commitment? But a covenant is really much more biblical. It was mentioned in the video a few times. They mentioned a covenant. A covenant is a chosen relationship or a partnership in which two parties make a binding promise to each other and work together to reach a common goal. A covenant is often accompanied by an oath, by a signature, or a ceremony. Covenants contain defined obligations and commitments, but they differ from a contract, as a covenant is something that is relational. It's something that's personal. So when I made a covenant to my wife 40 plus years ago in marriage, it was something that was personal, relational. So when we think of a marriage, a love of between a husband and a wife, they choose to enter into a formal relationship, binding themselves to one another in a lifelong faithfulness and devotion. Then they work as partners to reach a common goal. Perhaps that common goal may, at certain times in life, it may be building a career, it may be raising children together. But nevertheless, it's a commitment, it's a promise, it's a covenant. We don't talk a lot about covenants today, but sometimes I think we should probably talk a little bit more about them. Covenants, when we look at a covenant is one of the most important themes that we find in the Bible. A covenant is an actual, it's the skeletal structure at which the entire redemptive story of God and humanity is built upon. It was in the Garden of Eden that God made a covenant with Adam. It's the backbone of the Bible. From Genesis on, God enters into one formal covenant relationship with another. We have the covenant with Adam. We have the covenant with Noah. We have the covenant with Abraham. We have the covenant with David. A covenant with Israel. God always entered into formal covenant relationship covenant with humanity. So these divine human relations, these relationships, that's what pushes the storyline. That's what pushes the narrative forward until it reaches its climax in Jesus Christ. And our salvation is bought by a blood covenant that God made with humanity. So as we enter into this new season, I wish as your pastor to challenge you today. This is not just a commitment. It's not just a pledge. It's a covenant. It's an agreement. So for the next season in our lives, that we, as an individual, a member of Calvary Gospel Church, that I'm going to recommit. Number one, I'm going to recommit to God. We talked about using what God has given you. I'm going to recommit not just my life, but I'm going to recommit my talent. I'm going to recommit what God has given me to God. I'm going to recommit to the Word of God. I want to recommit to my family, and I want to recommit to the family of God. But this is all a choice that we make. I can't stand up here this morning. Pastor Peter can't stand up here this morning. We can't force anyone to do anything. It's a choice that we make. So as we stand here this morning, as we close this service out, I wasn't really for sure how to do this, and I began to think about a wedding ceremony. How that we have the husband does the I do's. Every ceremony, Brother Rico, I've ever officiated, we've had the husband would say his portion of I do, and then the wife would say her portion of the I do, and then there would be a we do. We mutually commit. So we as a church this morning here, instead of saying I do or we do, I want us to say we do. I want to read a pledge, a commitment, and at the end I just want us collectively to say we do. If you don't agree with this and you don't want to do this, don't obligate yourself. A pledge or a covenant is something that is designed to keep. It's not something we just follow it as long as it's convenient for us. Something that we honestly commit to. We honestly agree with. So today, as you stand with me, I pledge with my life to pursue and demonstrate spiritual growth through the reading and studying of God's Word, which is of utmost importance for every believer. And church, would you repeat with me? We do. I pledge with my life I will represent genuine Christian love and respect for one another as the Holy Spirit guides me and manifests His fruit through me. Will the church repeat? We do. I pledge with my life that my life will be marked with integrity in all my interactions with one another by matching my actions to my words. And would the church repeat? We do. I pledge to portray attitudes of humility toward one another and to submission to those in authority. And would the church repeat? We do. I pledge to reflect that I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. And as a new creation called to a way of life and actions and words and thoughts. And would the church repeat? We do. And last, I pledge to commit myself to the study of the Word of God so that I might lead my life, my family, and be a witness to my friends, and to be a light to my world. And church, would you repeat? We do. Let's pray. Lord, God, I thank you for the opportunity to be here today. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, God, for your covenant. Lord, if it was not for your covenant that you made with humanity, Lord, I would be so lost, so entrapped in a body full of sin, but Lord, because you came and you gave, God, I choose to know more about you. I choose to know the intimate things about you. I choose to have more than just a superficial relationship. God, I want to know you. I want to know. I want to communicate with you. I want to commune with you. I want you to be able to use me, God. I want to give myself. I give myself to you, Lord, in a covenant, in a commitment, in a pledge. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Thank you so very much, church. I am so excited about what God is desiring to do. We live in such a dark world. Our world is so hopeless, and we have what the world needs, and that is our relationship with Jesus Christ. As we close out this service, I just want to open up the altar. We made a commitment. We agreed and pledged. I just want to open up this altar that we would be able to take and have a little bit of time. Perhaps you'd like to pray with your family. You'd like to come down. But I just want to open this up as our worship leaders, worship team sings. God bless you. Thank you so very much for joining us today.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord once again, church. I want to thank you so very much to all of our guests that are here. It's so great to have you all here. And remind that Sister Jessica Rivest has a table out in the vestibule. But also, as we get into this God's Word for Life, our whole schedule, normally in January, we have a 4 weeks of prayer fasting of some variety. And our 4 weeks this year are going to be woven in to help us and assist us in implementing God's Word for Life into our homes. So our whole schedule in January is going to be a little different than we've had in previous years. But I think it will be great. It will be a tool to use, that you can use, and that we can all work together on this. So I'm excited about this. And hopefully this will help us as a church and help you as an individual, you as a family unit, to strengthen your families. So God bless you. Love you all. Appreciate you all. And shake hands with a brother, a sister, a guest, and to our worship music team. Thank you so very much this morning, Sister Bianca. God bless you all. We will also have a copy. I've been asked, do we have copies of that covenant? I do not have copies today, but we will get those available. So you can put it on your refrigerator, put it on your bathroom mirror, wherever you would like, and put it on your doorpost, on your fence. So God bless you.